here. Before I tell you what we're going to talk about, does anybody in here like football or know anything about football? You watch football, yeah, it's okay. I like to watch football, and I'm not going to talk about teams. But I guess this is how I want to open this up to what we're going to talk about. I want you to imagine something. We'll give a little scenario here. Those of you that have watched football knows football, played football. Did you play football, Brother Dave? Anybody else play football besides me and Brother Dave, Brother Gary? Man, what year was that? Don't answer that. Did y'all have leather helmets?
No.
Football. Here's what y'all, I want you to envision. Most of you in here has watched football, and if you don't know a whole lot about football, it's people like to hit people, which is actually pretty fun. When I played, I was too small to lay too big of a hit on somebody. I got hit pretty hard several times, but anyway, football team, two football teams. We're on the 1 yard line, and the offense is getting ready to score. We got the defense there. Got 11 men on the defense. You got 11 men on the offense. The offense is on the 1 yard line. Everybody lined on the line of scrimmage. You got the ball. The line of scrimmage is the imaginary line where the ball sets. Both teams come to the line. We got one team wanting to score. I don't know what the score is. It could be tied, or it could be maybe the team wanting to score is down by 3 or 6 or whatever. They come to the line. You got 11 men facing 11 men. And we'll see if you may not get this word, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When the ref blows the whistle and signals for the clock to start, both teams get on that line. They're digging in. We're on the goal line here. Somebody's going to score or not score. You got the quarterback comes under center. He most likely has got a tailback off to his right or left, either or. So when that ball is snapped, you got 11 men facing 11 men. Would anybody know a word to describe, and Brother Dave knows what I'm talking about, that feeling at that point? What word would you describe the 11 men on the defense, the 11 men on the offense, when that ball snapped? What are they going to need? Probably won't get this, but anybody want to take a stab at it? What are they going to need? And it is intense. Guts. Strength. All these kind of underline what the word I'm talking about. And the word I'm talking about is not even in the Bible, but we're going to look at some instances to get the full brunt of it. The word's tenacity. When that ball snapped, you know, you got guys over here, you're not coming across the goal line. Defense says, you're not coming. You got guys on the offense, we're coming in. Both sides have to have some tenacity, or there's another word, a four-letter word to describe tenacity is the word grit. And that's not sand in your shoes or under your fingernails. That's grit. So some tenacity. Those guys are going to have some tenacity, but here's the thing. You got two teams that's facing each other. Both of them hopefully has tenacity because they're wanting to stop one or the other, but both of them is trying to go in two different directions. One of them is trying to push. They're both trying to push forward from whatever standpoint they're on, whether they're on the defense or the offense. But it's going to take tenacity, number one, for somebody to score, or it's going to take some tenacity for somebody to be kept from scoring. You say, why'd you give that example? It's the only one I could come up with. Tenacity. And that's something we need in the Christian life is tenacity and grit. And Brother Ron Ralph, he uses that word a lot. And I guess that's in some ways what spurred me on to look this up. But that word tenacity or that word grit, the word tenacity means this. And it's kind of a different, until I looked it up, I had no idea. It wasn't really what I was thinking, but here's what it is. That word tenacity means this. It means adhesiveness. That means to stick. It's sticky. The effect of attraction, that quality of bodies which keeps them from parting without considerable force. And here's, I guess, goes along with the example I give. It's an act of holding fast. It's firmness of hold or purpose. Or you could say this, it's apt to adhere to another substance. And I've already talked about sticky, but that word grit means this. It's stamina to work consistently toward a meaningful goal over a long period of time. You know, our lives as born-again believers, it's going to take some stamina. It's going to take some tenacity. It's going to take some grit I'm not going to use the phrase because we hear other churches, other denominations, they'll use this term, endure to the end. I'm not using that term. Okay. We know what the end is. We're going to heaven when we die. Or if the Lord comes back, raptures us out of here, we're going up with Him. But it is going to take some tenacity. It is going to take some grit to move forward. Just like that offense is wanting to score 6 points, it's going to take some tenacity to move forward. It's going to take some grit. It's going to take some, I'm sticking right here. I'm moving forward. This is what we're doing. Or you could say this, it's how bad we want something spiritually. And, you know, ask yourself this question as we come in here this evening or whenever we come in Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever you're here. And I don't know how most of you all think, but do you ever ask yourself this question as you come to church is, I want something from God today and I'm going to be here till I get it. Or I'm going to have the mindset, if I've got a bad attitude, I'm going to change it. I'm going to get whatever's wrong in my heart, I'm going to get it right with God, but I want something from God. And I hope that's why you came tonight. I hope you came to get something from God, not to listen to me. But I hope you came to get something from God. But that's tenacity. That's grit. Hey, God, I want something. I need some help. You have the help. I want it. And whatever it takes to get it, I'm going to do it. So it's grit or tenacity. Or it's also this. It's long-term focus. It can be described as spiritual steadfastness. Or it can be described as this. I'm throwing a lot of terms out here. Joyful dependence upon God. Depending on God for everything you need. He has it. We know He has it. But what's it take to get it? And here I can summarize all that in 3 words. Everything I've just said. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. I'm not going to mention their names. Saturday visitation, we spoke with some people that we know. And they're one of many that I know that have, I'm not going to say they quit on God, but they don't have any grit anymore. Their tenacity's gone as far as the things of God. Now, I'm talking about tenacity and grit for the Lord, spiritual things. Now, you can have that same tenacity and grit for things in the world. And the devil is a master. This world is a master of putting things in front of your face, whether it's billboards or your phone or whatever. Just like that new car you want to buy or hope to buy. You know, most of us have some tenacity. That's what I want, and I'll do whatever it takes to get it. Sign the dotted line for the next 62,000 months or whatever it is. That's tenacity and grit. Yeah, it takes that as well. But I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about in your spiritual life. And I heard some of these words when I asked the question a while ago. I'm going to give you some words that are, and we're not going to talk about these, I'm just going to give them to you, some words that are the same as tenacity, and I'm also going to give you some opposites of tenacity. So some words that are similar to tenacity are these. It's persistence. It's determination. And here's one you don't hear much. It's drive. How much drive do you have? You know, some of you in here, a lot of you in here is retired. I still have to work a job. And sometimes you get up every morning, it's hard to have a little drive just to go back to work again. I'll tell you a little side note funny here. A good friend of mine that I actually work with, he does the same as I do. He's getting ready to retire here in about 3 years. And this sometime back, my wife, she knows what I'm going to say here. we were together, and he said, you know, I'm getting ready to retire in 3 years. And he popped out his phone. He showed me a little retirement calendar or a countdown thing on there. Had 3 years and so many days and blah, blah, blah. Well, I got me one of them, and I got depressed. I still have it, and I still look at it, and I still get depressed. I have 11 some odd years to go. That's depressing. But anyway, that affects my drive. That affects my tenacity. But anyway, I need a little more grit for that. So drive. Sometimes drive is difficult. Another word similar to tenacity is steadfastness. We've heard that word before. Constancy, diligence. We hear that word a lot, especially in the Bible. Insistence. And here's this last one, if I can say it. And this is, I guess it's a word or a, I don't know if it's really not a sentence. And I've heard some people talk about this. It's called stick-to-itiveness. You ever heard that term? Stick-to-itiveness. And it goes back to that sticky thing, adhesiveness. Now, some opposites of tenacity are these. And I hope this don't describe anybody here, but many times it does. We may not say it out loud, but it will describe us. Hesitation is opposite. Indecision, indecisiveness, timidity, softness, fearfulness, or weakness. So if I could title this, I guess I would call it Take On Some Tenacity. Because you're either going to take on those similar, you're going to take on tenacity or some of those words that we just spoke about, or you're going to take on some of the opposites, the hesitation or the timidity or softness, fearfulness, all those things. You're going to take on one or the other, but we need to take on the right things. So tenacity, we're going to look at a few examples here in the Bible. Let's go to, where I was going. Grab Galatians, I've got three places. Grab Galatians 6. 2 Thessalonians 3 and Psalm 31 with your third hand. Galatians 6, 2 Thessalonians 3. Get all these places marked here. And Psalm 31. Now I'm looking at a group of people here tonight. There's some tenacity in this room. I'm not up here saying that there's none here. There is. I'm looking at some folks here. You've got some tenacity. And the reason I say that, you've had some, and we'll talk about some of this in just a minute, but there's been some times in your life that you were tenacity, or another word for that is tenacious, and you've seen God answer some prayer in your life because you wouldn't quit. You never faltered in your faith toward God. You never faltered in your prayer life. And you've seen God do something in your life because of it. You didn't quit. And we're going to see some people that didn't quit here in just a minute. Galatians chapter 6, these familiar verses. Galatians 6, we always read verse 7 and 8. It's the sowing and reaping verse. But verse 9, and we know these verses. Galatians 6, 9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And that all depends on, and we'll get to some of those in a minute, but that all depends on what we sow or how we sow. So we're going to have a tenacious spirit or some tenacity in the things that we reap. So let's go to, where did I tell you, Psalm, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, goes a lot wrong with that verse. The Bible says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." So don't quit. Don't get weary in what's going on. And one more, Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 24. The Bible says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." So that means some people don't hope in the Lord. There's a condition there. "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." And I hope you're hoping in the Lord this evening. I feel like you are, you wouldn't be here. And we know that. So tenacity, having some grit. So what's some things that we need to have tenacity and grit in? One of them's in her prayer life. Let's go to Matthew 7. This evening I was looking, and most of you in here I'm sure has a bulletin. Before we read Matthew 7. Talking about prayer, I pulled my bulletin out, I was looking down through it, and I didn't count the names on the family and friends list. There's sickness, there's bereavement, there's all kinds of need on this friends and family, several down through here. With how much grit do we pray for these folks? And I know, you know, we come, every time we're here, pastor gets up or whoever stands up and we ask to take prayer requests and we take names and different needs, and that's fine. But with how much tenacity do we pray for these folks? And I'm not saying you don't, maybe you do. I'm just throwing that out there. But then you got a salvation list. And again, I didn't count these names. There's people on there I know. There's people on there you know. With how much grit or tenacity do we pay for those folks? Or with how much earnestness are we trying to go out of our way to revisit these? And there's a name on this list, it's to my shame, and I need to follow up on it. And this was before COVID, I guess, is the last time I talked to him. And man need to be saved. His name's Larry Terry. And every time I go through Castlewood, his name comes up in my mind. I still know with a trailer that I don't even know. Again, I don't even know if he's still alive. He was an older man. I have no idea. I don't even know now how to find him. When you look at that bulletin, do you have names, people like that, the names... Maybe you're here, maybe you're on your job, maybe you're at the house, that the Lord will bring that name across your mind. And I hope you stop and pray for those folks. Sometimes I've had the Lord bring somebody's name across my mind and I didn't pray for them. I try to do that now. But still, it happens. I get busy and somebody's name, that man's name, I'm not kidding. Every morning that I go through Castlewood, if I'm working that way, that man's name, especially if I stop at the red light, the first red light, that man's name comes to my mind. And I look at a little apartment over there that maybe his brother or somebody lived at. Tenacity. We need to have some grit. We need to stick to these things. Remember those people. Call his name out in prayer. And again, it's just an example. But prayer. All right, Matthew 7. How are we going to do that? Again, these are familiar verses. Matthew 7, verse 7, the Bible says, what's that first word? Ask. How are you going to get God to help you or help somebody else if you don't ask? How am I going to receive some help from any of you if I don't ask? How many times have we needed something? Maybe from your brothers and sisters in this church, you've needed something. Maybe nothing major. And we were too prideful to ask. I'm not saying it was money or anything. Maybe you just needed somebody to talk to. Just somebody to pour your heart out to, and you wouldn't because you just didn't ask. Or I didn't ask. Ask and it shall be what? Given. Ask and it shall be given you. What's the next word? Seek. We got to seek out some things. Seek and you shall find. Like it's kind of like hide and seek. You're not going to find it if you don't seek it. Knock and it shall be open. This is a side note here again. Saturday visitation, I know some of you here were there. Everybody now has got cameras at their doors. If you have a camera, that's okay. But it's kind of funny, you know, if you walk up, and I finally got to the point I told Lori, I said, I'm not going to push the button. I don't know if they seen me on the camera or not. I just knocked on the door. But now everybody's got cameras they can tell. And as far as I know, none of these spoke to me, but supposedly some of these you can even talk to the person there. But anyway, knock and it shall be open to you. You go up to somebody's door to visit them. If you don't knock, how are they going to know you're there? It takes a little bit of effort. It takes some tenacity there. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. But that verse didn't say this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Does that mean you're going to receive exactly what you asked for? But you know what? We read that in that verse. It doesn't say that. But when you read that, when I read that, that's what we read. That's what we make it say. But that's not always the case. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There's some confidence there. There's some confidence in those verses. That we have a God that you can ask, you can seek, you can find him, you can knock, and it'll be opened. But again, it may not be, you may not receive what you asked for, you may not find what exactly you was looking for, you'll find something. And I'm not saying that's the case. Sometimes that's the case. You may knock and it's open, but it might not be the door open that you wanted open. It might have been door number 2 instead of door number 3. But we still have to have some tenacity. We have to have some tenacity in your prayer life. Be consistent. Be unwavering. Be diligent. Be fervent to call out these folks' names. And it's not just people. You know, there's a lot of things to pray for. And I know pastors made mention of this, and sometimes it comes to my mind when people are giving prayer requests. I've heard different preachers and pastors say this term. And we all should be doing it, but in some respects, I think I know why we don't. It's pride's why we don't. There's hardly ever anybody ever gives a prayer request to pray for me for something spiritual. You know, put my name on the prayer list. I need some help. I need some, whatever it is, spiritual wise. We never hear that. And I'm not saying the health things are bad. They're not. And in my own mind, and this is just the way I think, and this is not right, but for me to do that, that would be weird. And it shouldn't be. Because we're in a church service and a holy time here, talking about the Lord, talking about the scriptures, talking about the Word of God, taking prayer requests which are real, which are sincere. People ask for different needs. But think about that. Have you ever raised your hand and said, hey, pray for me. I need fill in the blank, maybe out of this Bible, or I need the Lord to, I don't know, whatever it is. Wouldn't be nothing wrong with that at all. But it's going to take some grit. It's going to take some tenacity. All right, let's grab another one. It's going to take some grit and some tenacity to endure some hardship. And we've already read Galatians 6. Let's go back to Galatians 6. We read verse 9, Galatians 6, 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then we always read verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But many times I think we maybe skip over or don't focus on verse 8, and it says this, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It does matter what you sow. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a reaping there. And it does matter what you sow. But in hardship, let's go to 2 Corinthians 9. You know, sowing and reaping, I know years ago, and we still sow grass on our farm. If we've sowed corn or something, we'll sow some grass, or if we've messed some ground up, we'll sow grass. And maybe, I'm not an OCD person, or I don't think I am. But when I'm sowing grass, you know, with say a hand seeder, it's talking about sowing some seed here. If I had a plot of ground, say, as big as this church that we had done something with and we're sowing grass, and again, it's just what I do. You know, I'm going to walk down through here. I know how wide my cedar seeds, and especially if a wind's blowing, that's a whole different ballgame. So I walk down this way, I'll keep doing that. However far apart, 10, 15 feet apart, because I know how much seed how wide my seed are sowing. And you think, well, you'd seed that. You go down this way, you do it all the way across, it's done. No, I don't do that. I'll sow it that way, and then I'll turn and sow it this way. Why do you do that? You're trying to get to places you missed. So 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, the Bible says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, would grass come up if I just went one way? Yeah, it's going to come up. But it might be sparingly. It might be spotty. And I have done that. I have sowed grass in years past and thought, wow, missed that place. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So if you don't put much out, you're not going to get much back. And he which soweth how? Bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he, and here's the key, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Purpose in your heart. How much tenacity that you have is going to depend on how much you purpose in your heart. And again, everything we do, the past month we was teaching the kids through some things in Colossians, and I told them Sunday, I said, everything we do, it originates out of your heart. And that's what God's interested in. But how much do you sow? Do you sow sparingly? Do you sow bountifully? How is that? But verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. You're going to have to purpose in your heart to have some grit. You're going to have to purpose in your heart to have some tenacity, to have some drive to say, hey, we're moving forward. We're going to score here. And again, I'm just throwing that out there as an example. You don't ever want to go back. And, you know, my dad said this phrase to me. I've heard this phrase, other people say it, and I know you have too. You'll get exactly out of something exactly what you put in it. If you don't put nothing in it, you're not going to get nothing out of it. The Christian life's the same way. I'm not saying you're not saved, but you'll get out of your Christian life what you put in it. If you don't have a little grit, if you don't have some tenacity, if you don't have some drive, it's already a tough road, but it's going to make it tougher. All right, James chapter 5. But some tenacity and hardships, kind of what we're talking about here. Sometimes it's hard to have some grit when it's hard. And you know, there's families right now that's hurting. You know, was in the funeral home there last night with the Blankenship family, and do pray for that family, but that's a hardship. There's some people hurting there, and it's really hard to trust God. It's really hard to lean on God, and I'm not saying they're not, they are. But anytime we have hardships, it's hard. It's hard to have grit in those times. It's hard to pick up and move forward. It is. James chapter 5, verse 7, talking about some patience here. James 5, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Early and latter rain, verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Our Lord's coming back. And many times I feel like we get impatient. Be a blessing if he come right now in the next 5 minutes. Hallelujah. But if he don't, you know, how many times have we heard that phrase? And I'm not discrediting that phrase because it's true. But how many times in a church service or talking one-on-one with somebody, you've heard that term, even so come Lord Jesus, or the Lord's coming back, or I'm looking for his coming. I'm not saying that to make you doubt it, because he is. But sometimes we get impatient with that. Sometimes we get impatient to so much that we even start doubting ourselves. Well, is he really coming back? He is. That book says he is. If you believe that book, he's coming back. He is. But we can lose some tenacity. We can lose some grit there. So have some patience in those things. Have some patience with those prayers. You know, and we were talking about that. Back to those names on those lists. There's people on that list on the salvation and the other list there. That prayer after prayer. We don't know this. We could maybe never know this, but how many prayers for some of those people have went up, if you could put a number on it? And I know there's people in this church that pray for these people, but I'm talking about somebody else that knows these people. Don't quit. Stick to it. All right, let's get another one. Have some tenacity and courage and strength. Let's go to Joshua 1. And I know you've heard other men say, you know, what would it take to have, or how much would it take to make you quit this life that you live? Or how much would it take to make you quit on God, or stop going to church, or stop reading your Bible? That's going to measure how much grit or how much tenacity you have. Courage and strength. Joshua chapter 1. Let's back up and read and start reading at verse 1. Joshua 1:1, Bible says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. I read nowhere in that verse that he gave Joshua a choice. You're the man, let's go. You know what? We don't have a choice. We got to go. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's confidence. God was with Moses. Now Moses stepped on the scene. Now he's with Joshua. All right, Joshua, let's pick. We're going on. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. That would be a great phrase every morning when you get up just to say, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this next verse, we say this first often, sing this verse many times throughout the year, on most time on Sunday morning, verse 8, and I hope you pay attention to it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That ought to give you some drive. That ought to give you some tenacity. That ought to give you some grit. Just reading that verse. It's true. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Question. It's command there. Be strong. Here it is again. Is it 1, 2, 3, I think 3 times in this passage here. Have not I commanded thee? Question. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's with you wherever you go. But why do we get discouraged? Why are we afraid? Why do we fear? Why don't we have any grit anymore? You can have some tenacity in your courage and strength. You can be confident. All right, let's grab another one. Philippians 3. Have some tenacity in your courage and strength. Philippians 3. Here's one thing why we won't have tenacity, or why we won't have any grit about us, or maybe why we won't move forward, or maybe why we're not sticking by the stuff, or whatever the case may be. And this affects a lot of people in a lot of ways. But it's this, it's because people can't let the past go. There's people that are mad at God over deaths. There's people that are mad at God over, hey, he didn't give me what I wanted or what I asked for. There's a whole host of people that are mad at God, that shake their fist in the hand of God over fill in the blank. You got to get past that stuff. And Philippians 3, I got to get there. Philippians 3, we'll start reading up in verse 10, a familiar verses here. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. 13, Paul talking here. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. What's he say? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. And we know this verse well, 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul forgot some things. And if you turn a page back in chapter 3, there, the same chapter 3, earlier verses there, verse 7, he said this. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What would we count for loss that we may win Christ? What can we put behind us that's hanging us up or that's slowing us down that we could have some more grit or some more tenacity to serve the Lord better? People get caught up into all kinds of things. You know, and we're not going to read over or go over for time, but read over in Hebrews chapter 11. There's a whole host of names in that chapter, and I don't think they would be there if they hadn't put some things behind them. And you read about all those people over there, every one of them had hardship, every one of them had hard times, every one of them faltered and failed and stumbled. But they still made that chapter because it had some grit about them, it had some tenacity about them. They knew their God, they knew who he was, they knew what he could do. All right, we got a few minutes here. We're going to look at some examples here of some other people that has some tenacity and some grit. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. You know, there's not a person in here that I'm looking at that if somebody broke in your house, you wouldn't have a little bit of grit about you that you would do what it took to get them out, take them out, because you got a family there. But why can't we have that same grit when maybe we're in a confrontation with maybe somebody that believes different than we do, or somebody questions what you believe out of the Word of God? And I know we talk about this a lot, and I've even said it, but and I'm safe in saying the majority, if not all of you here, you know exactly what you believe. You know why you believe it, because you've been taught it year after year after year after year, day after day, service after service, day after day after Bible reading or whatever it is. You know what you believe, you're firm in it, but again, be firm in it. And some of those things, and it's good to go back and refresh yourself on those things. Don't let somebody talk you out of what you believe. Somebody asks you a question on what you believe, tell them. Don't be ashamed of it. Because there's all kinds of people out there trying to trip you up. Have some grit about it. Have some tenacity about it. Daniel here, he had some tenacity. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says this, but Daniel, here's that phrase we read earlier, but Daniel, what'd he do? Purposed in his heart, what? That he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel had some tenacity there. Let's go to Luke 18. We'll try to look at these pretty quick, because I got to be done. Luke 18. When I read this one here in my mind, I'm thinking, man, this is just like having one of your kids just on and on and on, asking and asking and asking, on and on and on. Luke 18. Luke 18 verse 1, the Bible says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. That's what we ought to do. Verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, that judge, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, look at this, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearied me. She wouldn't leave him alone. That's a persistent widow. Kept asking and kept asking and kept showing up. Every morning he come to work, who's he see? Her. I don't think God would at all get discouraged if every morning he heard from you. Every morning at the same time. I believe that'd be a blessing. I believe that'd put a smile on his face if every morning when you woke up, you're asking God for something. We're not going to go for time. Nehemiah 4, it's Nehemiah building the wall there. The verse 4 talks about the people had a mind to work. There's some tenacity and grit there. We're in Luke. Let's go to Matthew 9. Familiar passage here, but this lady had some grit about her. This lady had some tenacity. Matthew 9, verse 18, Bible said, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, and I like this phrase, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Just touch. Wasn't that some faith? Was that some grit and some tenacity? All I need to do is touch him. Touch his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment. 12 years she's been waiting to do that. We can't wait 5 minutes. 12 years, 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Just touch his garment. After 12 years. I'd call that some grit. I don't have time to go over these. I've been reading through the book of Acts and been reading through Paul. Paul's been imprisoned and shipwrecked, and we read through all that. But Paul had some tenacity there. Every time he got a chance to speak, when he was before Felix, give him a chance to speak, he wanted to talk. That took some drive. and the shape, the scenarios that Paul was in there, and he wanted to speak. He wanted to say something, and he did. Say something to those men. That's in Acts 24 and then also in Acts 26, that whole chapter. I was going to read that. We don't have time. Go back and read those. Paul was a man full of tenacity. Peter was one. Peter had some tenacity. Peter had some grit about him. I want to go to one more place, and we're going to end here. Go to Colossians 3. Sunday morning, Children's Church, this is where we ended talking about some things in Colossians. Read this verse and we'll be done. Colossians 3. We was talking to the kids. One of the verses we was talking about Sunday was verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Most children don't like to hear that verse, but they need to. But the verse that we talked about Sunday, and I'm going to leave you with this verse, very, very important verse. We've talked about grit. We talked about tenacity in different areas of our life. Give some examples. But Colossians 3, verse 23 says this, and whatsoever ye do, whatsoever, that's whatever, anything you do, whatsoever you do, do it how? Heartily. What's heartily? Yeah? Best you can. That's with some grit. That's with some tenacity. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So whatever you do, do it for the right reason. Do it with some grit. Have some grit about you. Have some tenacity about you. Have some want to about you. Have some, we read over there, have some stickiness, stick-to-itiveness. I can say it now. Stick-to-itiveness. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. We do. Sad to say, the most of the things that we do for God, or the most of the things that we don't do it heartily. We do it half-heartedly. Do it heartily to the Lord. He gets a blessing out of that. He is pleased with that. You know, growing up, what do you always want to do? You always want to please your parents. You always want to put a smile on your face. We have a Heavenly Father. He likes to have a smile on His face too, from us. So whatever we do, do it with some tenacity. Have some grit about yourself. Don't quit. Move forward. And do everything heartily to the Lord. All right, let's pray.